Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Cairn Homes' 2023 preliminary results analyst and investor call, which will be hosted by Michael Stanley, Chief Executive Officer, and Shane Doherty, Chief Financial Officer. Afterwards, there will be a moderated Q&A session where we welcome questions from anybody on the line. I will now hand you over to Cairn's CEO, Michael Stanley.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you all for joining us for our analyst and investor call as we review our 2023 full year results. I'm joined this morning by our presentation by Shane Doherty, our CFO, Stephen Kane, our Director of Corporate Finance and Investor Relations, Declan Murray, our Head of Finance and Treasury, and Tara Grimley, our COSEC and Head of Sustainability. The success of our strategy and momentum of our business is most clearly demonstrated by delivery. Our closed and forward order book comprises just shy of 2,500 homes, with a net sales value of nearly 1 billion euro. We have been consistent in delivering on our commitments. Ours is a differentiated strategy that is clearly working, delivering quality houses and apartments at pace and scale. We've created a sustainable long-term business with real visibility and will continue to make future significant contributions to Ireland's housing needs into the future. We have a talented team supported by a mature subcontractor base and supply chain, and we are delivering for our home buyers and for you, our shareholders. I'd like you to turn to slide 4, please, on the investor presentation, and I'll take you through a few of our key financial highlights for 2023. The company has, as I said, a record forward order book, and we continue to scale our delivery platform in tandem with executing our growth strategy. We grew by 14% in 2023. And we will deliver an ambitious 30% growth in 2024. Our margins are consistent and attractive, with a gross margin of 22.1% and an operating margin of 17%. We delivered an operating profit of 113.4 million in 23, and we expect to increase this to circa 145 million in the current year. We are very confident in our continued momentum and remain on track to achieve a 15% ROE in 2024. Moving to slide 5, our growth is supported by continued reinvestment in our business, allowing us to grow our operating platform across both housing and scale apartment developments. We commenced construction of 2,100 new homes during 2023, a circa 20% increase in the previous year, and have over 9 new site commencements planned for the next 12 months. As you can see from the growth in our closed and forward order book, the demand for our new homes is rock solid. Our 334 million euro WIP investment is 2.8 times covered by our forward order book valued at 947 million. We have also agreed our first 3 forward funding transactions with state-supported counterparties, and this will accelerate the delivery of our scale apartments developments. We are delivering energy-efficient, quality-built homes at speed and scale for these customers. Total investment in our business is just over 1 billion euro between our land bank and work in progress across our active sites. And today we have 4,000 people in full-time employment across these developments. We are disciplined in our capital and have a progressive dividend policy. Today we are declaring a final proposed dividend of 3.2 cents, bringing our total full year 23 dividend to 6.3 cents. Since 2019, we have returned over 350 million to shareholders. This represents a third of our current market cap today. We will continue our progressive dividend policy and our 75 million buyback, which will complete over the next number of months. And following that, we will issue a further capital allocation update to our shareholders. Just moving on to slide 6. You can see the growth this year in our order book. Our pipeline year on year has increased by circa 1,000 new homes. I've spoken about our intention to grow our long-term sales pipeline, and today we have over 750 homes forward sold beyond the current year. Our low-cost land bank and construction efficiency means we can retain strong and consistent margins at competitive price points. The average selling price in our order book is 383,000 euro net of VAT. We have seen very strong sales this year in our core Stark Home market sites at competitive ASPs, including Parkley Seven Mills, where we will launch an additional 100 homes next weekend. We've materially increased commencements of well-located and scaled social affordable apartment schemes. Moving to slide 7. The correlation of new homes completions relative to state capital funding and initiatives introduced over the past number of years. Every successful business needs a good operating environment, and we believe we are operating in a supportive environment for housing output, which is expected to increase in the years ahead. Since 2018, completions in Ireland have increased by 14,000 units per year, while state funding has increased by from 3.2 billion to 5.1 billion, as you can see in the slide, in the same period. The increase in units completed have largely been driven by apartment completions over the last number of years. The structural demand for new homes is circa 50,000 per year, which will require a 53% growth rate above current levels. Moving on to slide 8. Our 2023 average selling price was €389,000 net of VAT. Most importantly for us, our starter home market, which is a critical market for Cairn Homes, we were delivering homes at a price to the customer, including VAT, just sub €400,000. Our trade down market for housing and apartments is the change in our trade down housing and apartment pricing is purely reflective of mixed impacts. We are delivering starter homes at extremely competitive price points, as I've already mentioned. And it's important to note that we've achieved these price points while absorbing approximately €45,000 of build cost increase. Our platform and competitive advantages allows the majority of our homes to qualify for the supportive schemes introduced by the government, where pricing caps exist for Help to Buy and First Home Shared Equity schemes. These government issues are important for young families. Our apartment ASP reduced by over 10%, which is in part driven by mix, but also a function of the competitive pricing and our focus on providing value for money for our state customer base, where we are delivering socially unaffordable homes. Slide 9 covers a number of the key operational highlights, each of which are important for the progression of our business. Just to highlight a couple, our procurement will grow considerably over the coming years, with over €2 billion forecast in the 3 years to 2026. We are over 75% procured on our current active sites for 2024 and 50% procured for 2025, ensuring visibility over our costs and delivering certainty to our supply chain partners and our subcontractors. In 2023, we spent on average €15 million with each of our top 20 subcontractors. We will continue to leverage these long-standing relationships to deliver value for money for our customers. Our ongoing investment in innovation and standardization continued in 2023, with significant investment in IT and digital transformation. In 2023, we successfully obtained 9 grants of planning, representing over 2,350 new homes. And on to the next slide, slide 10. This outlines our apartment delivery capability as we continue to leverage the knowledge capture and experience from our proven scaled delivery capability, with over 4,500 apartments delivered or under construction to date. In January, we outlined our first 3 agreed and approved forward fund transactions at our 7 Mills, Parkside and Piper Square developments. This new capital efficient transaction structure will allow us to continue to materially increase our delivery of energy efficient, social and affordable apartments at very competitive price points. And on to slide 11, which outlines the progress we have made on our €2 billion GDV development in 7 Mills, Clonburris and Dublin. The scale and pace of this progress is very evident by the photos which we're showing here and how construction has advanced over the last 12 months. Following on from the commencement on site of phase 1 in January 2023, we have now commenced phases 2 and 3 of this development, and we will deliver a further 765 homes on those phases. This brings the total to over 1,300 new homes commenced at 7 Mills in just 12 months. We have also commenced our second passive house apartment scheme at 7 Mills also. As another proof point of Cairn's capability based on BCMS data, we are 15% faster at building apartments than the broader industry. And I think that speed and efficiency is critical in the environment that we are in today in Ireland, and the requirement for scales apartment developments in particular. Slide 12 outlines a selection of the social initiatives that we have progressed in 23. We are really proud that these underpin our Built for Good brand. The Cairn Apprentice Academy, which we think is really important, will see us invest 10 million over 5 years, with the objective of enhancing the long-term health and viability of not just our business, but the broader construction sector in Ireland. And it will see us increase the number of and financially support new construction apprentices across the full residential sector in Ireland. More recently, we've announced that, excuse me, we are the new title sponsor for the Community Games in Ireland. This partnership will see us invest 3 million over 4 years to grow awareness and participation of the Games, which incredibly involve over 160,000 young people across every community in Ireland who participate in these Games. And we want to grow that participation, and we're really proud of our new partnership with the Community Games in Ireland. I will now pass you over to Shane to bring you through our full year financial performance and our progress on sustainability.
Thank you, Michael, and good morning, everyone. Before I present our 2023 results, I would like to introduce you to Stephen Cade, who joined us from Goodbody Stockbrokers in May 2023 as Director of Corporate Finance and Investor Relations. Stephen is a seasoned senior finance professional with 20 years investment banking and capital markets experience, and will be joining us on our upcoming roadshow. Stephen takes over the reins from Declan, who many of you will know well from his years leading our investor relations team. Declan has now fully transitioned into his new role of Head of Finance and Treasury. I'm delighted to present a very strong set of financial results for Cairn for the 2023 financial year to you this morning, as well as reiterating the very strong outlook for the business after we closed out on what was another record financial year in terms of volume, revenue and profit generation. Over the next few minutes, I will walk you through full year 2023 financial results, as well as our forward-looking guidance. Moving to slide 14, you'll see we had a very strong year in 2023 in terms of profitability. Some of the key highlights include revenue of nearly 670 million from 1,741 sales completions for the full year. That's an increase of 8% in revenue and 14% in volumes. Gross margin improved to 22.1%, an improvement of 40 basis points, predominantly due to product mix, supply chain and construction efficiencies, as well as pricing. OpEx investment increased to 34.2 million. This 3 million net investment in our ambitious growth agenda was across key disciplines, including IT, health and safety, innovation and construction, which Michael covered earlier in the presentation. This resulted in operating profits of 113.4 million. That's a 10% increase year on year, an operating margin of 17%. Finance costs rose significantly to 14.1 from 9.6 million in 2022. As we continue to invest in growth and expansion, there was an increase in working capital throughout the year. This resulted in higher average debt drawings with an increase in variable borrowing costs during the year due to the higher interest rate environment compared to 2022. Profit after tax of 85.4 million, a 5% increase year on year, delivered earnings per share growth of 1.2 cent to 12.7 cent. A net asset value of 115.6 cent per share at the year end demonstrates the strength of our balance sheet. That includes our wholly owned land bank of just over 600 million, a significant portion of which was acquired at very competitive prices dating back to our IPO in 2015 and in the period thereafter. It is important to highlight our market position. Our relative market share with 1,741 sales completions last year was 6.5% when one-off homes are excluded. Our growth continues to be at a faster pace than the broader market. And to slide 15, where you can see the strength of our forward order book. As of today, we have forward sold nearly 2,500 units with a net sales value of nearly 950 million. More than 1,600 of these units are expected to complete during 2023, so supporting our expected volume growth of 26% in 2024. The growth in both the number and value of new forward homes sold compared to previous periods is supported by our investment in WIP. In terms of the value of those forward sales, we are 2.8 times covered on our closing WIP balance at year-end, which is an extremely comfortable position for us to be in. We've consistently invested in our construction activities in recent years, which is reflected in the volume, revenue and profit growth that we've delivered, in particular since 2020. The market opportunity remains very strong, as Michael has outlined. On slide 16, our balance sheet position continues to be supported by land at historic low cost and WIP investment that is, as I just mentioned, backed by a forward order book of nearly 2,500 units. At 334 million, our closing WIP balance has reduced by nearly 5 million in the year. When we released our 2023 interim results in September, we had invested more than 80 million in WIP in the first half of last year, with a closing WIP at that point of 419 million. I advised at the time that this investment would unwind during H2 as the bulk of 2023 new home sales completed, as evidenced by the H1 to H2 WIP reduction of 85 million. Similarly, our net debt position increased to 228.6 million at the half year, and this dropped very significantly during a very cash generative H2 to close out at 148.3 million, slightly below our 2022 closing position. Our net asset position of 757 million is after shareholder returns totaling more than 315 million made over the last 2 years through both dividends and share buybacks. Our capital allocation policy is well understood and reflective of both the scale and the stage of growth of our business. At just under 18%, our debt to growth asset value ratio reflects the relatively conservative leverage on the balance sheet. We outlined the key cash flow movements during 2023 on slide 17. We maintained an available liquidity position of 200 million at year end, reflecting the normal liquidity cycle of our business, where the majority of revenue and free cash generation occurs in the second half of each financial year, with year end typically being the low point on our working capital cycle. Our land investment reduced by 19.2 million in the year following the release of land held from our 1,741 sales completions in 2023, which offset by strategic land acquisitions of 57.9 million. It's important to point out all of these are accretive, quick asset turn developments with full planning permission. The increase in trade receivables and liabilities of 41.6 million include the balance of 22.1 million relating to funds due from a block sale to a customer, which was subsequently received post-year-end. Our net debt position was broadly flat year-on-year at 148.3 million after shareholder returns of 84.6 million. And finally, to capital allocation and guidance on slide 18. As I mentioned earlier, we have consistently delivered annual growth in volumes, revenue and profitability, and this is over a number of years. We are very focused on balance sheet efficiency, and having grown our ROE to 11.3% in 2023 from, it must be remembered, 5.6% in 2021, and this will grow to 15% in 2024. We remain committed to distributing surplus capital after investing in our business to shareholders through a combination of share buybacks and or special dividends. Our business is in a period of significant cash generation, and as I said, we've distributed nearly 310 million to shareholders since 2019. Our forward sales order book, along with our proven track record of scale delivery, enables us to reaffirm already strong 2024 guidance. A circa 30% growth in output and circa 2,200 units, an operating profit of circa 145 million from 113 million delivered in 2023, an ROE of 15%, and we continue to target 115 to 120 shareholder returns on an annual basis. I will now bring you through the sustainability update on slide 20 and the significant progress which we have made over the last 12 months in continuing to embed our broader sustainability agenda in every aspect of our business. We successfully retained our CDP grade of A-, which shows our commitment and leadership position in terms of disclosure and environmental performance. Furthermore, in September 2023, our Scope 1, 2 and 3 near-term targets were valued by the Science Based Target Initiative. By 2030, this will see a combined absolute reduction of 46.2% in our Scope 1 and Scope 2 emissions, and a 61% intensity reduction in our Scope 3 emissions. We have also committed to achieving net zero by 2050 and will publish our climate transition plan in 2024. We are publishing our 2023 sustainability report today. Within this report, we have aligned our disclosures with the 17 UN Sustainability Development Goals. Furthermore, we are also continuing our preparation for the upcoming EU requirement around CSRD and EU taxonomy, which we will report on from the 2025 financial year. Turning next to slide 21. In 2022, Ireland had the third highest greenhouse gas emissions in the EU by household for heating and cooling. Passive house standards will be a critical lever to accelerate decarbonisation across our sector, and is the internationally recognised standard for the most sustainable buildings that can be built. Piper Square in Charlestown is our first passive house development, where we will deliver 598 ultra-low energy apartments. We've also commenced construction at Phase 2 of our Seven Mills development, which will see us deliver a further 608 apartments built to this standard. Both Piper Square and Seven Mills will be purchased by state-supported agencies, and we have taken full responsibility to deliver these 1,200 apartments to passive house standards and future-proofing them for years to come. As discussed in our last results in September 2022, passive house not only reduces carbon emissions, but also delivers outstanding levels of energy efficiency and generates significant cost savings to building occupants. In the middle of the page, we've outlined the annual and lifetime saving utility bill for a passive house apartment relative to an equivalent NZEB apartment. While an NZEB compliant apartment is highly efficient, an equivalent passive house apartment will reduce ongoing utility bills by over 40%. These two schemes combined will deliver savings of nearly 40 million. And finally, to slide 22. This was a very late addition to our investor presentation today, as we were only presented with the prestigious Green Construction Award for 2024 on Tuesday night. As you'll see on the slide, the Green Awards recognise the extraordinary contribution and commitment that companies now make towards growing a greener future in Irish business today. We were competing against some of the biggest main contractors in our sector, including large Irish-based contractors, and for us, this is one of the most important awards that we've ever received. The award demonstrates the hard work we've put into embedding our sustainability agenda into every aspect of our business and how this is truly part of the current DNA. Thank you for your time this morning, and I'll now hand back to Michael to discuss the strong outlook for our business.
Thank you, Shane, and just add my congratulations to our team in winning that very prestigious award, and it's really important for us, an area that we hope we are providing leadership in, and particularly as we build apartments and houses that where their owners can enjoy lower costs into the future. We know we're all dealing with a situation where housing costs are increasing, and being able to not just reduce our carbon footprint on new housing, but to reduce the energy costs into the long term is really important for our customers, and it's a great recognition for all the hard work done with the team. Thank you for that, Shane. Shane and Stephen and I will be on the road show next week. It'll be Shane's last, and sadly so. So thank you to Shane for he's been our CFO through many difficult years, including starting around COVID, and I think you've helped steer the business, Shane, so thank you for that in a great way. And Stephen will look forward to meeting many of you for the first time in his new role. So to wrap up, we're extremely confident about our future. We have an immensely talented team in Cairn. We're an established business. We have an established platform, and we have a sustainable business platform. This will help us to deliver over 2,200 homes this year, a very significant increase, as I said earlier, 30% growth in the business, and to grow our profits to 145 million circa, and importantly, to achieve that 15% ROE. The exceptional demand for new homes is illustrated by our record closing order book, and it's evidence of our strong position in the Irish market. We have returned, as Shane mentioned, over 300 million to our shareholders, and we will continue to reward your faith in us with continued progressive dividends and buybacks. We are operating in a country with strong macroeconomic growth, and supportive housing policies. So thank you for your continued support, and we'd be delighted to take your questions. And I'll hand now back to Seb, who will manage the Q&A.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. If you wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2. The first question comes from Shane Carberry from Goodbody. Please go ahead.
Yep, thanks guys, and thanks Michael and Shane for the presentation. Three from me, if I may. First is probably to go back to slide 11 for a minute in terms of 7 mills, and Michael, you mentioned kind of the commencing of 765 new homes this year. I guess just to get a little bit more colour and delve into a little bit of more detail now that you're really starting to deliver on the site, like how many units per annum could we be looking at here at full capacity? Are there any learnings from operating on a site of such scale? And should we be thinking about more forward-funded opportunities perhaps on this site too? The second is, and probably kind of continues on that kind of forward-funded theme, you mentioned as well about how kind of forward-funding is enabling you to, you know, with your proven capability in the apartment market, you know, I suppose deliver even more apartments. How should we think about the business mix going forward from here? And then the third is, and it's kind of on that apartment theme again, I suppose, is around the kind of passive apartment, passive house apartments, I should say. Where's the next evolution of this, and how should I see that kind of segment progressing?
Thanks, Shane. I suppose, well, let's talk about 7 mills first. Look, it's incredibly important development. An opportunity for us to create probably what's desperately needed. You know, we can move into certain areas, Shane, and we deliver on quite large sites, and they can be 300, 400, 500, 600 unit developments. That often takes us 2 or 3 years, and in some cases it's up sticks, and we're moving that team to another opportunity. Obviously, Adamstown was just shy of 1,100 units, was our biggest development to date. But Clonburris is a new town, potentially for 25 to 30,000 people, and it's located. It's very, very well located on an electrified train link to the city centre. So, I suppose reflecting on it a year in, what have we learned? I suppose we've learned that it was probably the right time for us to start it. We need our business to be mature and scaled to handle something that is this ambitious. And to deliver at this speed. So I suppose that's one learning. I suppose we were able to bring the experiences of other large developments, but also it gave us an opportunity to build up the relationships that are needed even outside the business to deliver something of this scale, including with local authority, local community, a supply chain, et cetera, and there's a number of initiatives that we've brought to 7 mills for the first time, and our output there, to answer your other question, we would like to get to an output there of somewhere between 800 and 1,000 units a year, and we will probably achieve that from next year. We have launched there next weekend. We release another 100 houses for private sale, and we have an inquiry list that runs into the thousands for those homes, mainly because of location, but also because the low land bank cost and efficiency allows us just to bring homes there at price points where customers can get mortgages. There's a bigger addressable market when you're at a lower price point, which is critically important, and when people know they're moving into an area with all of the wonderful facilities that we're bringing in tandem with the housing we're building. In terms of next steps, Tara has joined us here. I mean, we've got a passive house standards, you know, are, I suppose, the high waterline when it comes to building homes that are truly efficient into the long term. You know, if you take, for example, in the UK, you know, quite a number of homes are not yet even built to NZEB standards, and we're already, I suppose, leaping that into passive house standards, and we're probably taking the lead in Ireland there because we believe that's appropriate. I think we better get this one right for the next number of years, Shane. We have a lot of projects that we want to boost passive house standards onto. There's a lot of changes we have to make to our buildings in terms of how we, not just the materials we use, but how we deal with, thermal bridging. We're using triple glazed windows, which we source from our partner, a Scandinavian company that are providing those windows for us. The workmanship around air tightness needs to be at an incredibly high standard. And there's a lot of additional things we have to do around the design of the buildings to meet those standards. So we have a lot of work to do. But our intention, to answer your question, is to roll that standard out across as many of our property schemes as we can. And the first two that we're doing it on are for our state partners in Charlestown and in Seven Mills. Tara, did I leave anything out on the
pass? No, absolutely, Michael. It's very much for us at this point, feasibility study, checking out what the impact of our program, availability of labour and supply, sales, advisors to the space, sourcing materials, all of that good stuff. But yeah, Michael, try to absolutely the journey we're on so that we can meet this very much our standard approach.
Okay, makes sense.
And I think you did ask about forward funding opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think we're in a position, thankfully, with the strength of our balance sheet and how we've managed that, I suppose, over the last number of years, to be able to self-fund large apartment projects. I've said before that, an apartment scheme, particularly our larger apartment schemes, our peak working capital can almost reach 100 million by the time we start closing and bringing in revenue on various blocks. So they would be delivered on a phased basis. But in a lot of cases, there's a lot of initial works with large basements to dig out and build and podiums to create and then buildings that come out of the ground simultaneously. It's an expensive process. It compares to a housing scheme where peak width might be as low as 15 to 20 million. So how do we meet the challenge of being able to build on numerous apartment projects simultaneously? And we can certainly self-fund a number of those. The importance of forward funding to us is that we are able to get on more projects, and it effectively just boosts the capacity of our balance sheet and our business. So these first three are critically important. We will be self-funding a number of our own as well, which we'll be on. And by this time next year, I would expect Cairn to be building on as many as 12 apartment sites, certainly between 10 and 12 apartment sites. So it's ambitious. It's the type of product that's badly needed. It doesn't mean that we are not still very much a business that builds starter homes. It is our core business and will continue to be. But if you look at an earlier slide, Shane, in the presentation, you will see that Ireland's delivery of low-density housing, and there's all sorts of good reasons for this in terms of what you'll get planning permission for in Ireland, particularly in areas in Dublin where we've seen a lot of urban sprawl over decades. The vast majority of the increased housing output over the last number of years has been in the apartments. The output of lower density housing annually has been largely stuck in terms of the output. So, and if you look at the number of planning consents in Ireland that have remained uncommenced, again, the vast majority of those are also for apartments. So we estimate about 40,000 apartments are yet to be built in Ireland that are fully planning consented. So we think being a business that has built a capability, an early capability to provide starter homes, which we believe we've built up a reputation in the market for building incredibly high quality and sought after starter homes, but also being prepared to double down and invest and improve our capability for apartment building will be critical to our future. And I think that's recognized now by the state. And I think the government's overall share of housing in Ireland is extremely low. It's sub 10%. That's a very challenging place for the state to be in when the state only owns about 8 or 9% of housing stock and therefore can't, in an inflationary environment or in an environment where the population is growing significantly, can't meet the housing needs of those who are on lower income. And that can only be achieved through state-owned affordable apartment projects of scale on transport links near where people work and areas of high employment. So we believe we position our business, Shane, in the right way, and we believe that all the hard work we've done will pay back. And we believe when it comes to passive house, we've got to lead the market.
Yeah, makes sense. No, that's really helpful. Thanks, Michael.
Our next question comes from Johnny Cooper at Numis. Please go ahead.
Morning, all, and hey, morning. Well done on the record year. Can I ask firstly what you're seeing on the supply side now and whether you've seen any notable new entrants into the market given the strength from both policy and the economy?
Yeah, new entrants into the market. Certainly, there has been a shift over the last 24 months, which in some ways has been a welcome shift because capacity in residential housing needs to increase. So you've seen in Ireland over the last 2 or 3 years a very significant increase in the number of residential units built by main contractors who traditionally would also build, you know, everything from bridges to roads, but more particularly these large contractors would traditionally have been very significant developers of office accommodation in Ireland and hotels and retail and indeed data centres, et cetera, et cetera. So some of the major contractors in Ireland have shifted their attention, probably understandably, with the fall in demand for new office builds into residential development. So that's probably been the most significant change. Unfortunately, and a challenge for Ireland as it tries to increase its output is the need for house building companies, traditional house building companies, to grow their businesses more organically. And that's just been very challenging, and it's not a great place for the industry that smaller to mid-sized home builders haven't been able to scale substantially. I think it's something that the government is aware of, and some of the initiatives that we touched on and indeed some of the funding initiatives, like, for example, forward funding models, should hopefully support more of those small to mid-sized companies to scale more efficiently, because unlike main contractors, they are permanently focused on the residential market. That's their core business. Main contractors are very welcome in building more residential housing. But to be honest with you, if margins were higher and there was and circumstances were different, they would move their attentions to other sectors. So trying to build up that longer, that larger cohort of scaled home builders is a big challenge for Ireland, but bluntly desperately needed to try and address our housing shortage. It's not normal for home builders to cross borders. So in terms of new entrants, saw this historically in the UK with various European home builders that may not have succeeded in the UK market. Similarly in Ireland, we've seen examples of this in Europe. You know, home builders tend to have to be homegrown, if that makes sense. It's very difficult to cross borders and meet the requirements and understand the nuances of local markets. So I'm not sure we'll see a significant new entrant. I hope we see a significant increase in the growth of more traditional Irish home builders, because that's definitely it.
Thanks, Michael. That's really helpful. My second question would be on the order book, which is, you know, seen a very large increase, which gives great visibility. But how are you thinking about balancing that with the ability to respond to market conditions and specifically pricing, yeah, if it does pick up? I realise most of the growth in the order books from the forward funds, but just grateful to hear how you're thinking about that.
In the the order book, it's important, particularly in longer duration projects, that your supply chain has real visibility. It's not just important for us in terms of being able to confidently talk about our sustainable margins. And, you know, I think Shane in his presentation was able to give everybody some comfort that we've got good sight of where our margins are going to be as a business into the kind of short to medium term. I think it's fair to say, Shane.
Yeah.
And I think supply chain certainty is really important around that, and a strong forward order book, particularly when you're on complex large apartment schemes, is critically important. I don't know if you have anything else to add to that, Shane.
Yeah, I mean, I think Michael has spoken a lot of this thematically. Like, you will read a lot of media about shortage of
labor and supply chain and what that might do. I mean, the good news for us is from a BCI perspective, things have moderated. We're never complacent around that. But, you know, if you think of some of the themes that Michael has covered, whether it's around, you know, the forward funding opportunity or apartment building capability, our investments in IT and innovation, and I think, which you can lose sight of when you talk about the forward funding opportunity, the strength of our balance sheet. All of that means that we can support, we provide massive supply chain certainty to our partners. So we are absolutely the number one go-to for the supply chain that's out there. So even in the event that there was a supply chain shortage, which we're not seeing at the moment, we have a lot of resilience because we provide that supply chain certainty. Even from a procurement strategy perspective, we've made a lot of investments even around, you know, the whole digital agenda around procurement and, you know, showing that pipeline of opportunity to people. That gives a lot of reassurance to the supply chain. So when you're even looking at our growth and volume, you know, that translates to very significant WIP investment as well. And what people see when they see Cairn is that they see someone who's going to be consistently investing in that and can do that in a number of kind of scenarios that may pivot in the market.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Very welcome.
Our next question comes from Colin Sheridan from Davy. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Colin.
A few from me, if I can. The first one's on the land market. Obviously, you were pretty active in 2023. I just wonder if you give us a feel for what that market's like at the moment, particularly in relation to the supply of land coming through, the competition that you're seeing for it, and ultimately how satisfied you are with the economics of what you're buying. Just maybe a little bit more colour on the build costs. I know Shane just mentioned this, but how that's breaking down in terms of labour and materials, and if there's anything in particular in there driving it upwards or downwards in either end of that range that you've given. And then maybe lastly, just picking up on the point you were making on the faster speed of construction in apartments that you were talking about. Will you give us a bit more colour on that and what it is specifically to Cairn that you think has you outperforming the rest of the market? And I guess more importantly, how that is putting you in an advanced position relative to the sector in relation to winning things like government tenders and state agency deals going forward. Thanks.
Yeah, last one first, I suppose, Colin. Firstly, I suppose it's really important to emphasise that we don't build on state land. Therefore, we are not in the business of tendering for contracting projects for the state. Our job is to bring our state customers solutions on our own land, and to create mixed tenure developments of scale where we not only are selling individual homes to first-time buyers and often to trade-up, trade-down people, et cetera, but also to deliver affordable homes and social homes. And we can't deliver large schemes without the support of the state. And I suppose when we step back from this today and we look, Colin, across the Irish residential market, and I believe every residential market in developed economies, the state is playing a bigger and bigger role. And that really, unfortunately, is due to the fact that, you know, we may never go back to a situation where the average home in a country is four or five times an industrial wage. Unfortunately, housing, this time around, it is pure build cost. It's not land inflation that's largely driven this. It's appropriate regulations, it's appropriate standards. It's also the cost of base raw materials. And those materials, if they are natural resources, which most of them are unlikely to reduce cost. And it's unlikely that labour, I suppose, Colin, in the medium term, in my view, will reduce, because the reality is this is a tough labour market. You know, it's not going to get cheaper to have people doing tough work in civils, in construction, in block laying, in plastering, in external and internal environments. So I suppose we've got to accept that challenge. So if you look at the state's role in Ireland, the UK, or abroad, the state is either supporting by helping first-time buyers with maybe a portion of equity or in some cases with other supports. Thankfully, Ireland is in a situation where our banks are offering green loans at low rates to our customers, which is very supportive. And I met with the CEO of one of the major banks in Ireland last week, and he doubled down on his intention to really support our buyers with continued low mortgage costs. That's incredibly important. So I think the responsibility for us is to be able to try and bring value to our customers, whether it's starter home buyers. As I said, our average ASP is sub 400, including VAT for starter homes this year. That's largely stable for over 2 years now. And we have to be able to try and absorb as much of the build cost inflation within the market as we can. I think we've proven that we've done that. And we can do that through innovation, some of the things Shane talked about in terms of partnering with our supply chain. That's why, you know, we can confidently predict, particularly with between 75 and 50% forward procured for 2 years, that we're not going to breach probably 3% build cost inflation this year, Colin. So we're in a very stable situation on build cost and therefore pricing. The speed, it's down to a number of factors. So because we are perfecting as we go our capability on apartments, that's the design development we do with the design team, with our supply chain, the standardization, more and more of the materials being manufactured off-site. A very significant portion of the components that we put into our apartments are actually manufactured in our suppliers' factories and yards. And we collaborate with them and we innovate with them. We also are designing our own projects. So in a lot of cases, apartments are built, they're designed by one team, maybe appointed by a local authority or an AHB, and then delivered by a different design team working for a main contractor. We own that design journey right the way through pre-construction and indeed construction. And bluntly, it's knowledge capital we learn as we build each project, the efficiencies we get, we bring to the next project. We also set up our sites very, very professionally, we believe. We are incredibly focused on health and safety on our projects and creating the right working environment for the people that work there. There's close on 1,000 people a day now reporting into Seven Mills, for example, and working there every day. That's a big responsibility for us. So our preliminaries, our site setup, the way we deal with materials handling, our logistics, the way we deal with the people that work there, all feeds into speed of program. And the reason speed of program is really important, Colin, is on average, an apartment development operates at about a 15, 16% prelim cost. So bluntly, if it takes you 4 years to build an apartment project, you're running that prelim cost for 4 years. If it takes you 2.5 to 3 years to build that project, you are significantly reducing your prelim cost because your project duration is much shorter. So that's the big win, and then we can pass those savings on to our customers. Does that answer the question, Colin?
Yeah, it does. Thanks. Yep.
Thank you. The land market, I knew there was something else. I jotted it down, Colin. The land market is still reasonably benign, Colin. I mean, you know, independent reports are putting in at about 350, 400 million last year. That's not a massive market for land, but probably a little bit worryingly, we are seeing, to be honest, you know, any land that Cairn acquired last year, we had an immediate solution for that land. We only acquired it to deliver it to a customer or a partner, in most cases to either the Land Development Agency or to one of our large AHB customers. So we acquired land for specific projects as opposed to increasing our land bank. Important to say. I suppose we also didn't buy anything on the market. I think one of the advantages we might have, Colin, and maybe only a couple of companies in Ireland have in this sector is, you know, we have the capital, maybe private equity landowners that don't want to double down land with planning permission and fund the WIP finance are more likely to knock on the door of one of the couple of very large home builders and present an opportunity that in some cases suits us. So we haven't bought anything on market. And bluntly, our land buying was at a pretty low level for 5 or 6 years. So it's important that we replenish it. I had that 1-800 number to ring there for about 4 or 5 years, Colin, and they talked me down, to use a Warren Buffett saying, buy land.
That's great. Thanks. Good call.
Thanks.
We have no further questions on the call at this time, so I will hand the floor back to Michael.
Yeah, well, look, thank you all. We look forward to seeing many of you next week, both today and tomorrow and next week. And thank you for your continued support. Thank you, Declan, Tara, Shane, and Stephen. We'll see you all soon. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
This concludes the conference call. Thank you all very much for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.